This is the closing market report for a Thursday afternoon. It's the 30th day of March. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Mike Tenura. He's at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. Mike, thanks for being with us. Glad you're back today.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Let's start with the hard red winter wheat growing regions. Very concerned over many of the winter months that it was very dry there. Have we alleviated that situation?
We certainly have, and that's primarily because of all the rain that's occurred over the last 2 days. We have a way to analyze how dry or wet any crop in the United States is at any moment. And if you take a look at what's happened over the last couple of days in the hard red winter wheat belt, the proportion of wheat that was drier than normal over the last 60 days absolutely crumbled by more than 50 points leading into this rain event just a couple of days ago. About two-thirds of U.S. hard red winter wheat production had been considerably drier than normal over the past 60 days. As we stand here this morning, numbers are nowhere near that high, having dropped all the way down to nearly 10%. So dryness is just not a big issue. And one other thing we would point out is that a lot of people seem to have forgotten just how much rain there was back in the middle of January. There was a major rain event across the central and southern plains around January 15th of this year, and that pretty much wiped out what had been a developing drought. So when you take that huge rain event with this one now about 9 to 10 weeks later, there just are not any dryness issues to talk about in the hard red winter wheat belt. It's hard to make much of an argument anymore that is too dry for hard red winter wheat.
What's your assessment of preseason conditions in the Midwest?
Well, it's a little bit interesting in that rainfall over the last 6 months has been considerably below normal across the southern half of the central U.S., primarily from along Interstate 80 and points onto the south. Now, these areas also were pretty dry back in 2015. But what ended up happening in 2015 is that it started to rain in April, and then it rained again in May, and it kept raining right through June. And that's how we ended up with above trend corn and soybean yields. Now, whether or not that happens again this year, we don't know for sure. The only thing we do know is that we've had a big system go through over the last 12 to 24 hours. We have more rain on the way through tonight in the eastern Corn Belt. And then we have another rain event coming up early next week and another one late next week. So by the time you put this all together, we'll have seen 3 significant rainfalls in about an 8-day period across these areas that were unseasonably dry.
Can you turn your attention now to second crop corn in Brazil?
Brazil's second crop corn has been receiving ample rains over the last several weeks. This is in direct contrast to what happened 1 year ago when they had a major drought. It's going to continue raining across much of Brazil over the next couple of weeks. So there's going to be a real hard argument to make for problems for that second crop corn in Brazil. So right now, it's looking pretty good and maybe even very good. Argentina's a little bit too wet in a few different areas, but this wet pattern is starting to break down a little bit. At least it will once we get into next week. So even there, hard to argue about dryness issues. Pretty much the entire world is wet and is going to stay that way for a little while.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Mike Tenura with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.